Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Welcome, everybody. I'm so glad you joined us today. Whether you're a part of our Cranberry campus or our Newcastle campus, welcome. Maybe you're a guest and you've never been to anything at Victory before or seen anything that we do. I'm so thrilled that you're here. And I know we have two campuses, but right now, in the middle of this crisis, we're everywhere, in your homes, on your phones, wherever. So glad you're here. I'm praying God does something incredible right now in your heart by His power, by His presence. Before I get into the message, I'm going to let you know something very exciting that's on the horizon for you. We're calling it FaceTime. FaceTime this week with John and Lisa Bevere, an online event, Tuesday night, 6:30. John and Lisa are going to be answering your questions, going to be sharing with you, and we have other national leaders that have already committed to do it, Pastor Chris Hodges, Dino Rizzo, and we're in discussions with others like Jimmy Evans and John Maxwell. We want to present you the opportunity to have real time with these amazing leaders to get your questions answered, as well as having the opportunity that they can impart some great things into your heart. So I hope to see you there this Tuesday night as I'll be interviewing them online, and it's going to be an incredible time with John and Lisa this Tuesday night. This week, I'm going to talk to you about how to have faith in the fire. Faith in the fire, because that's where it works. And right now, we are in the fire of COVID-19. It's swept the planet. I don't need to go into all the stuff we've heard and said. That's already out there. I want to talk to you about how to walk with God in the middle of the fire. How do you do that? Well, first of all, people ask the question, you know, why has God even let this stuff happen? You understand that Scripture tells us we are in the world, we're not of it. That sin exists and the brokenness that comes from sin is in our world. That's why the Scripture says in 1 Peter that don't think it a strange thing concerning the fiery trial that you're about to step into. Don't be alarmed by it. This isn't some odd thing. Expect it. Jesus said it this way. In this world, which is the only one we get to live in, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. See, faith works in the middle of the fire, not in the absence of it. And so often people think, well, if I trust God, then everything, the storms will all calm. No, that's not necessarily the case. Some storms God will calm. Some He will give you and provide you the power to ride that storm to the other side and to walk in victory in Him. So I want to talk to you today about four realities that you have to have in your life if you're going to walk with faith in God in the fire. Let me take you to a Bible example. Imagine you're a teenager growing up just where you live, and all of a sudden another nation invades our land. And they take us over, they run their flag up, they conquer our nation. And then they take you as a teenager out of your home and drag you 1,600 miles away to a place with a people you don't know, a culture you don't know, and a language you don't understand. That's exactly what happened to four Hebrew kids in the Bible. The Bible shows this in the book of Daniel. It's Daniel, and then the other three are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's exactly what happened to them. King Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem. They overcame Israel, and they took these four teenage boys 1,600 miles back to Babylon. And that's exactly what happened to them. And it was overwhelming to them as it would be overwhelming to you. And for 3 years, the king of Babylon trained them in the customs, in the culture, and in the language of that nation, because the king saw something in them, saw them as wise young men, and he began to train them. Remember this, Babylon in the Bible is a type of the world. So the king of Babylon said, before you can serve me, you have to understand my ways, my customs, my language, my culture. And he tried to change who they were for 3 years. And so the four realities of faith in the fire that these three young men ended up walking through, I want to take you through because they absolutely apply to you today. They absolutely apply to me right now in this present reality. Here's the first one. Faith in the fire will bring the favor of God. If you exercise faith in God in the fire, it will bring favor from God. Favor is God treating you better than you deserve. Well, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and all of his wise men, of which Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were included, all of them, he commands something impossible of them. He said, I want you to interpret my dream. But then he said this, but before you interpret the dream, I want you to tell me what the dream was. Well, the chief of all of his wise men, who at that time was not Daniel, he said, King, no one has ever asked that of anybody. And here's what the king said, you either do it or all of you will be put to death. And so Daniel goes before the king and he said, I can do this. And he's now bringing his God into the courts of Babylon. And I want to show you what happened. So Daniel tells the king, not only does he tell the king the interpretation, he tells the king the very dream. And I want you to see what happens when Daniel exercises faith in the fire. In Daniel 2, verse 46, it says this. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, this is after Daniel rehearses this, falls prostrate before Daniel and he paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. Now imagine, this is the king of a nation who is actually worshipped falling down before Daniel. And then it goes on to say, then the king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and he lavished many gifts on him. And he made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon, placed him in charge of all of its wise men. Then Daniel, at the king's request, Daniel requested of the king, I should say, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be appointed as administrators over the provinces of Babylon. But Daniel stayed in the courts of the king. I want you to see that the favor of God came upon these men because they walked with God and they knew God and they trusted God, even though they were brought outside of where they grew up and everything they knew. It's very important to see that they served the king. He was an unrighteous king, and they served his kingdom. But in the middle of it, God brought them great favor. And then Daniel immediately, this is so important, if you're going to walk in faith in the fire, if you're going to experience a favor of God in the fire, you have to live that favor for more than you. Daniel immediately used that favor to bring a righteous influence into the work that he was doing into that kingdom. So how does that apply to you today? How does that apply to me? Like Daniel, we do have authority, but we have it from heaven. Like Daniel, we're called to bring that authority to better the lives of not just ourselves, but other people. One of the primary things every Christian can be doing is to use your authority and your favor from God in a place of prayer, to be praying for our nation, to be praying for our leaders, to be praying for the healing power of God to sweep the world. You might say, well, what good is prayer going to do? Let me tell you what the Bible says for a person who actually knows how to pray and not just wish. It said that when you pray, it makes great power available. The fervent, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man or woman makes tremendous power available. If there's anything this world has ever needed, it is the power of God. And that's why we joined a national prayer movement called Unite 714. And all around the world, Christians are praying. It's 7:14 in the morning and 7:14 in the evening. And I encourage you, go on our website and join the movement with us. And it's based on 2 Chronicles 7:14, where God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That's what we're praying. So we take our favor with God and we bring it into a place of prayer. Then secondly, like Daniel, we bring that favor to actually serve people. God has brought such incredible favor to this church right in the middle of this crisis. And we are using that favor to serve people in need. An amazing thing's just recently happened. In fact, it happened this week. You've heard us talk about the fact that Walmart has sent tractor trailer after tractor trailer of food for us to distribute. But this week, Walmart agreed and actually helped us to help us receive from them $96,000 to be able to buy and distribute things for people in need right now. It's money that will come into Victory and go right out of Victory. Companies like Cisco, Pepsi, Giant Eagle, Shop and Save, 7-Up, Target, Panera Bread, all these companies. We didn't ask for it. We didn't seek for it. They found us. Why? Because the favor of God rests upon his people. But that favor isn't just to help us. That favor was to serve people. And do you know hundreds and hundreds of people who are a part of Victory Family Church are serving right now in caring for people, not just in food distribution and caring for people in need, but in ways that are just too numerous to even mention to you right now. Michelle and I are so honored to serve a group of people that right in the middle of the fire, stand for God and serve other people. I also want to thank every one of you for your giving, your continued kingdom building giving. Because just because we're not meeting here doesn't mean we aren't doing great things for God. In fact, we're doing more than we've ever done before. Here's the second thing you have to understand if you're going to walk with God and have faith in the fire, is that faith in the fire is going to bring conflict into your life. Faith in the fire brings conflict. One of the struggles so many people are having right now, many Christians, is, hey, you know, the government's doing this, the government's doing that. I don't know that I agree. Can I help you navigate that for just a moment? Because I want you to understand that when you walk with God, it will bring conflict. But let me tell you first, in Romans 13, do you know this is what the Bible actually says about government in general? Not just government that you agree with or leaders that you agree with. In fact, it says that we are called in Romans 13 to submit to governmental authority. It also tells us that God has established governmental authority. And here's why. Because those authorities exist, in Romans it said, to protect you from evil. They exist to protect you and then punish those who bring evil on innocent people. That's why in the book of Romans, do you know the policemen and even soldiers, those in the military, are called ministers of God? Because they're actually protecting people from evil. And you know we're told to even pay taxes to support that authority? So, and here's the last one that's kind of amazing. He said, and when you rebel against that authority, you rebel against God. When you rebel against the governmental authority, you're rebelling against God. You know, that's why we're currently not having services here in our building. Because the governmental authority said, please don't do that. And so in that sense, we're yielding to the government authority. We're doing what they've asked us to do because they're trying to protect people. He said, Pastor John, I don't know that I agree with that. How do I know that we're not disobeying God by not having church services? Because can I tell you this? As important as it is that we meet together, and it is, the Bible commands that we meet together. As important as that is for every one of us, we also take this into consideration. Our government has asked us to help protect people from a virus. Well, I don't agree. Submission doesn't require agreement. But can I tell you, it's so important that you understand that there is certainly a line that you're going to have to draw. So let me ask the question. When do you draw the line? When you no longer submit to the authority of government. It's very simply taught in the Bible, and it's not hard. It's when that authority commands you to disobey God. And I can promise you this, whether it be our government or any authority, ever comes to me as a pastor of a church or a leader and commands me to do something that makes me disobey God, I won't obey it for any reason. Why? Because I'm commanded not to obey it at that point. It's very important that you understand we honor authority, we don't worship it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're about to enter that very same conflict. They're about to come to that point of decision, whether they're going to bow before a king that commands them to worship a false god, or they're going to burn in a fire. They're having to make the decision. Remember this. Every person of faith, if you're going to walk with God, you will come to a point of decision, whether to bow or to burn. And I want to show you what you do when the conflict comes. So very important. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, commands the whole kingdom. He makes this golden image. And he said, when this music plays, I want you to bow down and I command you to worship it. And whoever does not worship the image will immediately be thrown into a fire, literally a fiery furnace, and you'll be immediately killed. And that's the command of the government. Worship the false god. Well, the three Hebrew kids, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused. And then people around them told the king, hey, those Hebrew kids, they said no. Nebuchadnezzar is so furious. He's enraged. It said his face changed. I don't know if you ever had some anger in your life when your face changes. If anybody married, you ever had the face change, that's a bad day when the face changes. Nebuchadnezzar is ticked off. And I want you to see in what happens. He brings Daniel in, not Daniel, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, and listen to what he says. In Daniel 3:14, Nebuchadnezzar says to them, is this true? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, these are leaders. He knows these men. That you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I set up. Now, when you hear all the sounds and all kinds of music, if you're now ready to fall down and worship those images I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then he asked a question that is so important for you and for me today if we're going to walk with God in faith, if we're going to have faith in the fire. Listen to this sentence. What God will be able to rescue you from my hands? What God can do anything about what I just said to you? So how does that apply to you and to me right now in the middle of this crisis? Well, number one, when it comes to our government giving directives for public safety, I'm yielding to those because I submit to those governing authorities. But where won't I yield my life to anything, anybody, anyone? It's when it comes to yielding to God during this time of crisis and answering this question. And this is a question I want to ask you, not in theory, not amen, but in the way you're living right now. Is the God you serve able to deliver you from this virus and the effects of it? You say, well, I believe he is. Well, then here's the part of submission. The same person who says, I don't agree with this with the government, I don't agree with that. We're all welcome to an opinion. I have some of my own, by the way. But right on the other side of that, don't fight the wrong battle. What are you thinking? How are you saying? What are you expecting? How are you acting right now in your life? What are you doing right now in your life? Are you talking in such a way that your God is more than enough, that your God can deliver you from any fiery furnace? Are you thinking? Do you let thoughts rest in your mind? Boy, this is going to happen, and we won't have enough of this in my company or my business. And before long, your mind will be so polluted with fear. Or do you say, let God be true and every man a liar? This is a very real problem that they were facing. And one we're facing today is pretty brutal, but this was unbelievably difficult. Here's another question to ask. Who are you helping right now? Who are you serving? Who are you praying for? Well, I can't do that right now. I'm too worked up. Then can I tell you that you've already submitted to the problem? See, we might say, well, I don't want to submit to these edicts or demands of the government. I don't know if the timeline of this is good or that. We are all welcome to an opinion. But why don't we exercise our authority? Why don't we exercise our obedience, if you will, where we're actually called to do it, where we can make an amazing impact? Because the third thing that you have to understand, if you're going to walk in faith in the fire, is this, that faith in the fire is immovable. Faith in the fire doesn't move for anything. It doesn't move through threats. It doesn't move through consequence. It doesn't move even at the threat of death. I want you to see the response these three Hebrew young men had before the king of a nation. This is pretty remarkable. And it's such a perfect example for you to follow and for me to follow. The king has said to them, you either do what I tell you or you're burning. And let me ask you this, guys, about your God. You think he's able to take you out of my hands? You think he's able to prevent that fiery furnace from killing you? In essence, he's basically almost challenging them, laughing at them. Daniel 3:16, we see some of the most amazing display of faith in the fire. In fact, this is faith in the face of a literal fire that you will ever see in Scripture. And what a great example for us to be able to follow in the situation and circumstance we all find ourselves in right now. Listen to what he said in Daniel 3 and verse 16. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego then replied to the king. They said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve, now listen to this, is able to save us from it. And how about this? They're looking at a king who is crazy. He kills people for no reason. He will rescue us from your hand. And then verse 18, he said, but if not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the image of gold that you set up. Now, some people read that to say this. King, if you throw us into the fire, man, I'm telling you, if you do fine. Can I ask you a question? If he throws them into the fire, the truth of it is, they can't worship their God because they're dead. So here's what they're really saying. King, let me tell you, whether you throw us into the fire or whether you don't, we will not serve you. We will not worship your God and serve and worship you as God. We will not worship your image. We will not bow down to it. And we won't even be careful, because our God will save us and he will deliver us from your hand. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is so angry that he's coming out of his skin. And the scripture said he was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them was so changed, he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. And he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie these men up, throw them into the furnace. The scripture said in verse 22, the king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot, that the flames of the fire actually killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied up, were thrown into the blazing furnace. Imagine being that person. Imagine as you're being tied up and you're going to a place so hot, so difficult, that the people that are bringing you to the fiery furnace die bringing you there. That's what they faced. Can I tell you that faith in the fire is immovable? But how does that apply to you? How does that apply to me right now in the middle of this crisis? Let me again say this. Faith in God works in the middle of the fire, not in the absence of it. So ask this question. Right now, am I immovable? Is my faith in God being governed, if you will? Is my faith in God governing what I expect? Is it governing what I expect in the middle of this trial, of this test of COVID-19? Is it governing what I say? Have I been taken captive by this circumstance in my thoughts, my words? And then I want to ask you a question that is so paralleled, and I hope this touches your heart, and you let the Holy Spirit teach you right here. Listen, take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you right now this simple truth, because it will change your life. Has what's happening around me, has it influenced my language and my culture and customs? Has the circumstances of the world around me changed the way I speak? Have the culture, customs, and circumstances influenced my relationship with God? Has it influenced what I expect God to do for me? See, so many people want God to move, and they want to see God deliver them, and they want to have a great testimony of the power of God. But remember this, great testimonies come out of great tests. The test doesn't come from God, but the power and the freedom to deliver you from that comes from his very own hand. You have to be immovable. That's why as a church we're doing what we're doing. That's why I'm practicing it personally. That's why we are committed to the fourth, that faith in the fire makes an impact. Faith in the fire makes an impact. Remember this, a person with faith in God does not bow, they don't break, and they don't burn in the face of adversity. Doesn't mean we don't all experience the same difficulties. Doesn't mean that I don't have to have the same thoughts and feelings come to me that come to everybody else. I'm not denying the reality of the situation. But let me tell you what I am denying. I'm denying that my God is unable to save me from it. I'm denying that my God is not strong enough to deliver me and set me on a high place because I walk with him and know him. Now look what happens as they're thrown into the fire. This is one of the most incredible miracles in the Bible, and one of the greatest pictures of the power of God in the middle of adversity that you will ever discover in studying the scripture. In Daniel 3, verse 24, they're thrown into the fire, and immediately it said, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, and he asked his advisors, hey, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into that fire? They replied, yes, King, there were 3. And he said, but now look, I see a 4th man. Walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the 4th one looks like the Son of God. Now, how Nebuchadnezzar recognized that, I don't know. But he said, look, man, he's looking into the fire and they're all walking around, but there's a 4th man. Listen to me, there's a 4th man in your fire. The 4th man is the Son of the living God, Christ in you. And that 4th man doesn't show up in the absence of conflict. He shows up in the middle of it. And they didn't bow and they didn't bend and they didn't break. And then Nebuchadnezzar had said, he approached the opening of the furnace and he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come out here. And so they came out of the fire. And all of those around him and his advisors crowded around them. Can you imagine? And listen to what they said. They saw that the fire, now listen to this, the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their hairs even singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there wasn't even the smell of fire on them. There wasn't even the smell of the fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel, and he rescued his servants." And they trusted him. This is the king's command. This is what he's saying about them. These men, they trusted in their God, and they defied the king's command, and they were willing to give up their lives to death rather than serve and worship any god except their God. Therefore, I decree, how about this guy? The people of any nation and language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut into pieces and their homes, houses, turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I want you to see that faith in the fire makes an impact. Jesus said in Luke 19, 13, he commanded, he said, "Occupy until I return. Occupy until I return." We are called to be an occupying force in the earth. We are not called to be a kingdom of cowering slaves. We are not called to bow our knee to any circumstance, to any situation, to back us off of the purpose of God. We are called right now to go make an impact with our life. Not when the fire in the furnace goes away, but right in the middle of the fiery furnace. Right now as you face the fire and the furnace, right now around you, whatever it's saying to you, you're commanded by God right now to go and make an impact. Go now and make an impact. No, but why? Why should we go do that? Number one, because God tells us to. But you need to understand this. We're a body of believers. You are not in this alone. We support and pray for and love one another when it's good and when it's not so good. Do you know the scripture says that we actually need each other? That's why you do this. But do you know the Bible also tells us that I need to serve other people actually more than I need to be served? If you really want to come out of this in a place where you've experienced the favor of God, where you stand through this conflict, where you become immovable in the fire, you're going to have to take your next steps out of that fire in the middle of this moment and make an impact with your life. Let me ask you a question as I wind my time with you down. What do you smell like today? What do you mean by that, Pastor? That's kind of weird. No. Coming out of this furnace of COVID-19, coming out of this financial crisis, coming out of this has impacted your job, your income, maybe your health. How's it impacting you? What do you smell like today? What's coming off of you today? Would someone be able to interact with you, interact with me, and not smell the fire on us and not see any of the hairs of our head singed? Or clothes not scorched? He's simply saying this. God didn't take the fire away. He said, "I refuse to give the fire, listen, power over you." That's what faith in the fire absolutely does. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 tells us how we're supposed to smell. Did you know that in the Bible tells you how to smell? Listen to what it says. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 said, "In the Messiah, that is in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. And through us," get that, "through us, he brings the knowledge of Christ everywhere we go. And then people breathe in this exquisite fragrance." Do you understand the victory in your life in the middle of the fires, of the flames, of the circumstances of life brings a fragrance everywhere you go? The key word here is everywhere you go. You can't camp out. You can't hide in the cave. We have to go make an impact right now. And for those of you on our dream team who serve week in and week out, I want to encourage you, keep on serving. Keep on serving. If you can leave your home, go on our website and click on the areas where you can serve. And find, there's so many opportunities right now. For those of you that are already serving, and again, you're used to doing it every week, but you don't quite know how to keep your hand out there and serve people, go on our website. There's more opportunities than you can even ever fill in. And for those on the dream team that serve all the time, but you really can't leave your home, maybe you're in a risk category or maybe you're caring for somebody, do you know that right now you can go online and you can start an online small group? We can show you how. You can start helping people, serving people right now. Call and check on people. Pour your life out. Don't just wait. Don't just wait to make an impact. Do it now because people need you when they need you. And there's many, I'm sure, watching right now that you've never yet served beyond yourself. And you maybe don't even know how to begin to do that. Can I give you a very simple next step? You can go to what we call Starting Point. It's a two-week class online, literally an online class where you get to interact online, and it will help you. It's live. It's interactive, and it starts next weekend. For 2 weeks, you can go through this class, and it will help you. It will teach you where you can connect here at Victory. We need one another. It will show you areas of service for your life. You can go right on our website, myvfc.info, and you can sign up. Remember this, please, every one of us. We fight and we win battles, not just to lift other people, not just to save ourselves. We fight these battles so that we can actually, I should say, lift other human beings. Not just for me, my four, and no more. God help me. It's God help me so that I can go and be an instrument of heaven to serve and to help people. Faith in the fire will help every one of us. Cause every one of us to stop being self-focused. Let me leave you before we pray with this. In the city of Newcastle, Victory Family Church, the Cranberry Campus, and the Newcastle Campus are stepping into something right now called a Dream Center. God had put this in my wife's heart, Michelle's heart, in prayer for almost 10 years, and now's the time. He said, what's a Dream Center, Pastor John? We're going to have a building in Newcastle. You see, you mean for the church? No. It's a dream center. In the dream center, there's going to be food distribution that will happen all the time. We're going to care for people all the time. We are going to have a free medical clinic. We're going to actually provide legal services. So how are we going to do that? Some I don't know, but already, Duquesne University wants to provide free legal services, and we want to partner with them, and they can come and have a place in the dream center. Duquesne University, right here in our city, starting a medical school. And they would love the opportunity, as this unfolds, to bring students up to this center to serve people. There's so much unfolding right now. And he said, well, Pastor John, do we have the finances to do that as a church? We never have the finances to do anything that we want to do as a church. We don't wait for permission for money. We seek God. We do what God tells us to do. I'm telling you, you want to walk in the power of God? You want to walk in the favor of God? Go do the things that are in the heart of God for people. That's what he's called you to do. That's what he's lifted you up to do. And we're going to serve the city of Newcastle from our church campus there in the city as well as here in Cranberry. And for many of you right now, doctors, nurses, educators, lawyers, this is an opportunity for you to put your hand to something and to make a difference in the lives of people in great, great difficulty. That's what we're called to do as Christians. That's the heartbeat of heart, the very heart of God. And that he wants that heart to just resonate in you and resonate in me. But before you can ever serve and help and love others, you have to have a relationship with God yourself. And maybe you're watching this and you don't know that if you died today, where you'd spend eternity. Can I tell you that Jesus said there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun? Heaven and hell exist. So are you trying to scare me? No. Telling someone the truth isn't an attempt to frighten them. Telling you the truth is an opportunity for you to be delivered from a certain end that you don't want. Because here's the fact, all of us have sinned. And that sin makes us unacceptable to God. And when I die, I will bear the punishment of that sin, or I will receive the actual sacrifice that God made to pay for my sin. But here's the amazing thing about the love of God. He looked at our sin and judged us guilty and condemned us for eternal separation from him. But then he so loved us that Jesus came, the Son of God, robed in human flesh for one reason, so that he could hang on a cross and the punishment of the sin of man would come upon him. And he died on that cross and was buried. He rose from the dead and he conquered death. And now for any person that invites Christ into their heart, he turns no one away. And when you receive a living Jesus, he's not some dead religion, but when you receive Christ into your life, he comes. He turns no one away. And your debt is canceled. Your sin debt is wiped away. And you become a child of the living God. And then when you die, you have an assurance, the Bible says, that you go to be in the presence of God. And you can walk with God and live for God all the days of your life. You don't have to be bound to the elements just of this world. What an amazing thing to be loved by God. What an amazing opportunity you have. So I want to ask you right where you're at, if you'd bow your head, close your eyes. And he said, well, I'm with a group of people. Everybody, please do it. Because I want every one of you to have this private moment to open your heart and give your life to Christ. If you'd say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus. I don't know that I've ever done that. Would you please pray for me? Let me pray for you right now. You say these words right where you're at. Everybody with you, whether you've invited Christ in your life or not in the past, please pray it out loud for everybody there with you. If you're alone, don't just do it in your head. Speak the words out of your mouth and receive Christ into your life. Pray it where you hear it. Say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father. Come on, say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you by Jesus Christ, and I believe with all of my heart that Jesus died for my sins. I turn from my past, I turn from my sin, and I give my life to you today, Jesus. I receive you now to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Thank you for coming. Thank you for saving me from my sin and its punishment. And when I die, I am heaven bound because Jesus is now the Lord and the Savior of my life. Amen. Amen. Oh, what a great decision you made. Thank you so much for coming together and worshiping with us today. Thank you so much for opening your heart to God. And I hope to see you this Tuesday at 6:30 as we have FaceTime with John and Lisa Bevere. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.